Oh, hey, this is Melissa Reynolds.
And this is Todd Reynolds coming on for episode 13 of the podcast, We've Been Reynolds, live in location from the cottage again.
That never...
Favorite place.
It is our favorite place. But that introduction, it never gets old.
It does.
It might get old to listeners.
It gets old to the commentator himself.
Really?
Yes.
You don't like doing that?
I thought it'd be funny the first time, and now that you've said that I got to keep doing that, it's, you know, I get a little bit hesitant to do it still,
no.
But whatever. Everyone expects it of me now, so I just do what is expected, you know.
Perfect.
Yes.
Okay, we want to continue doing shout-outs, but we need to know if you are a listener. We would love for you to send us a message and ask for a shout-out, and we'd love to shout you out and tell people how we know you. And if you are somebody that we don't know, we want to know who's listening.
Do you want to shout it out loud?
No.
Is that correct?
You're like the biggest geek I've ever met.
That is absolutely fine.
Oh my goodness, seriously. So please let us know if you're listening, and please let us know if you'd like a shout out, because we'd really love to shout you out.
Out loud. Yes.
All right.
Like kiss.
Maybe some of you are new to the podcast. Maybe you haven't listened to it before, but it's called We've Been Reynolds. And the reason it's called We've Been Reynolds is because for years, especially when we really were struggling financially and we had a ton of kids, and we would get Reynolds. We would get Reynolds on a weekly basis, I would say.
Yeah, it seemed to happen quite frequently. So we changed it to a verb, really.
Yeah. So the title is We've Been Reynolds because crazy things and ridiculous things happen to us on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And we used to share them, and like we'd be on our way on a trip with everybody, and all of a sudden our tire would blow.
Yeah.
And everybody else would be beautifully traveling on this trip, and we'd have to stop and we'd write to people in a text, "We've just been Reynolds, we'll meet you there."
Yeah.
And everybody knew what it meant. And when something silly or ridiculous happens to somebody, they will write to us and say, "Just let you know, we've just been Reynolds."
So it's kind of taken off from there. It happens to everybody, but it just, you know, I don't know why it seemed to happen to us more frequently. Maybe we just share a little more often than others. I don't know. But
maybe.
Yeah.
I'm sure people get Reynolds all the time.
Yeah.
So if something happens to you unexpectedly that turns out okay and funny at the end, then you definitely want to say that you've been Reynolds.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it's going to show up in Webster's Dictionary as a new word of the year or anything like that, but, you know, just saying.
You never know, Todd.
That's how we use it.
It might be in the Urban Dictionary.
Perhaps.
Is that a thing still, the Urban Dictionary?
I'm sure it is. I don't know. I would assume it is.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
Well, hopefully Reynolds will show up someday in the dictionary.
Right.
Okay, so something happened this weekend to us, or the last few weekends,
yeah,
and we were definitely Reynolds. Brock, I'm sure all of you know who Brock is. If you watch the story, you've seen Brock. No, he's not Emma's boyfriend. Yes, he's Emma's best friend. He's been around since grade 7, so he's been around for the last about 7 years, almost every day with us.
Yeah. And Brock's family has a cottage just down the road from ours, which is super convenient. So we get to see Brock and Carly all the time. And one of our favorite things to do is to have Captain Brock take us on sea-doo rides out here.
Yes.
Because he knows the water, because he's been out here for years.
Yeah.
And we're still learning the water. And he takes us on routes and navigates little channels for us and stuff like that.
Which we love. We love going on sea-doo rides with Brock because he's really knowledgeable. And it's nice. You know, we've watched Brock grow up. He was 13, or not 13. He was probably 11.
11 or 12, probably.
How old are you in grade seven? How old are you?
Well, you're 12-ish. 12, 13.
Yeah, so I think he started hanging out
still
with,
wet behind the ears, some
right?
would say. Yes.
He started hanging out with Emma the summer going into grade 7, I believe.
Yeah.
He would know the date. But he started hanging out with Emma when he was quite young. And so it's really nice to have Brock navigate our trips because it's just fun. It's just fun to watch a kid that you watch grow up just know so much about water. So a little bit about Brock, if you're wondering. Again, he's Emma's best friend.
Is this an unofficial shout out to Brock right
here? Yeah, like, maybe this is Brock. I don't even think Brock listens to the podcast. Come on, Brock. Maybe you need
to. Surprised he's not sitting in here listening to it right now, you know?
Right. But Brock is going to school for a 4-year degree for automotive.
Yeah.
He wants to sell cars, or he wants to work in corporate. He's always been obsessed with cars. He loves like Sea-Doos. He loves sleds. That's kind of his passion. Mm-hmm. So he's going to school and he has a job at Toyota.
Yeah.
So
he lets me know how to maintain my vehicles properly.
Yes.
He's very disappointed in the cleanliness of our vehicles.
Yeah, he hates how Todd takes care of our vehicles, as do I. That's what Brock and I have in common.
Mm-hmm.
We don't love looking at how Todd takes care of vehicles. He's never taken... His brother, Gavin, is disgusted about the way that Todd takes care of vehicles.
The thing is that the car that I typically drive is the one that all the kids jump in prior to the van being a work van and me having to take the other car.
Not true.
That is true. And what happens?
Todd.
People leave their junk
in
there.
You had a car pre-kids. It was a pink
Taurus.
Taurus.
Yeah.
It was disgusting.
What was disgusting about it? Just dirt or what?
Dirt, garbage. It was like you lived out of your car.
Now you're making it sound like I'm a hoarder. It definitely was not like that.
Your car like, was
there
like
were
a
not wrappers
car.
All over the place.
If we talked to Gavin, he would say you had a hoarder car.
That's fine.
You're not ever good at taking care of cars. Okay. I've never seen you wash a car in the driveway.
No.
No.
You're right. You washed a car in the driveway?
Yeah. More often than you've
washed. You washed a car?
Yes.
You are lying.
I am not lying.
In our driveway?
Yes, in our driveway.
Oh, my
with
gosh.
My Norwex stuff.
Okay.
With a bucket of water.
For a demo?
No, not for a demo. I've actually washed our car, and I plan on doing it more often because I have a brand new Journey.
It's not brand new.
It is very, very close to being brand new.
It's got 120,000 kilometers. It's not brand new.
It does?
Yes.
If you know anything about me, any of my friends, if they're listening to this, they know that I have no idea what they drive. I have no idea what color of vehicle. Sometimes I know the color of their vehicle.
And please don't brag about driving a Journey, for goodness sakes.
Why? I love the Journey. It's so comfortable and clean and nice when it's only me driving it. It's like a brand new vehicle.
Okay.
Why? What's wrong with the Journey? Do people make fun of Journeys?
Well, it's on the lower end
of
the SUV spectrum.
Really?
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, I'm glad.
It's so comfortable. When you're short, you can see everything.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm disappointed by that.
Perfect.
I love that car.
Okay. Yeah, it's been touch wood so far, so good.
I just lost my train of thought, though. I was talking about something and you made fun of my car.
You're talking about wanting to clean the car more often, stuff like that.
Oh, yes. For my brand new Journey, I am going to take care of it more often.
It's 2016. It's not brand new.
Well, it feels brand new. Oh, I know what I was going to say. If you know me, like Sarah...
It's 7 model years old. That's not brand new.
Well, it feels very new because it's very nice looking inside when I make sure that it's taken care of. And I'm sitting here right now, and if you know me, I have no idea what you drive. I was at a graduation meeting the other day with Kara, and I needed to borrow her car to get home and grab something because I walked to the meeting. And I went outside, no idea what she drives. She's one of my best friends. So all I did
was... Black Kia Sorento.
Yep, no idea. Didn't even know the color. I've been in the vehicle numerous times. So I went out and I started pressing the button so I could try to figure out where her vehicle was. That's when I was like, oh, Melissa, you're pathetic. You have no idea. I have a really hard time with fine detail. There's not enough brain capacity for fine detail. So that's how I was able to find her car, was to beep the horn to try to find it. Sarah is sitting here right now. I have no idea what she drives.
Ram and a caravan.
Do we drive a caravan?
Yes, we do. That's the van.
Is it the same one?
Hers is newer than ours, but yes.
Oh, what color is your van, Sarah?
Same as ours.
It's a white caravan.
You seriously don't know that?
No. Well, I don't watch Sarah drive up.
No, okay.
I don't know what... I know that Doug drives a black car.
Yeah,
a black
Ford F-150,
truck.
Yes.
Yeah. I know that my mom and dad have a white something.
Yeah, Nissan Murano.
Yep, that's about it.
What does your sister drive?
It's black.
Yeah.
No idea.
What brand?
It's like a SUV.
Yes, that's the style.
I have no idea.
It's a Honda CR-V.
I would never know. I actually was thinking Honda.
Yeah.
But no, I would never know. So it's just not my thing. Mm. How did we digress to this?
I don't know. You start talking about my lack of hygiene in a car, I think.
Yeah, I don't even know how it got to that, though.
And I'm saying it's not just me. It's the people that are in there that don't clean up their stuff.
Well, just in case you wanted to know a little bit about how my brain works, now you know. All right, so we were Reynolds in the last few weekends. Because Brock, I know how we got to this, because Brock is selling cars.
Yeah.
There we go. Now
and he better give us a deal.
I hope so.
Come on, Brock, when
we
the time comes,
the
come on.
Deal. We're like family.
And don't pass us off to the finance manager, and then they're going to bombard us with all kinds of different things, Brock.
Okay,
this is
Brock,
message directly to you.
This is message to you. I don't know if you listen to this, Brock, but this is your shout out.
Yeah.
Okay, and everybody's in love with Brock. And if you see Brock, please stop him in the streets to say hello because he loves that.
He might be shyer than I am.
Yeah. Are you shy?
Of course I'm shy.
Oh, didn't know that.
I know. You've just forced me not to be, so.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
If you see Brock, if you're at the bank and you see Brock, go up to him and tell him, say hello to him. He loves when people stop him and say hi.
So we had this nice planned ride. We were going to go all the way. We were going to go north, but the winds were not favorable. So we decided to go.
The winds are not favorable.
That's correct. We decided to go to southern Georgian Bay, southwestern Georgian Bay, eastern Georgian Bay, excuse me.
Oh, my Lord.
Should I ask you what direction is east if you point right now?
No idea.
Okay, that's exactly right. So we started heading there. We had a convoy of four Sea-Doos. And we were driving along. We got down to Wabasheen, if you know the area. We crossed under the 400, which heads north.
It was so cool. I felt like I was on...
A Floridian canal or type thing.
Yeah, like I was John B. What's the show?
On Outer Banks?
Yes, I felt like I was in Outer Banks.
North Carolina?
Yes, yeah. It was so cool.
Anyhow, we're going through all these little channels.
And anyhow.
It was very weedy down there because it's a shallow, warm part of the bay. And we saw tons of fishermen.
Tons of fishermen.
Everywhere, you know. I did several waves. I like to wave to every passing vessel on the waterway.
Literally to every single person that passes, which is great, but it makes me hysterical on the back of the Sea-Doo.
Well, anyhow,
and
whatever.
And stops, looks over, gives a wave, tries to make eye contact.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a nod as well.
Yes, nod and a wave.
Yeah, sure, why not? Anyhow, we're going through, and we went under the 400 in a little back bay, and we decided, let's get out of here. We're going to go up to the locks. Like the Big Chute locks. So we're going, and we were using Navionics, if anyone knows that. That's like a GPS for the waterways. And we stopped at the top of a channel, and it was kind of weedy. And we're looking around like, we were the last, because I like to go last, make sure that the kids in front of me, you know.
Such a gentleman.
Are safe, and we can keep an eye on them and give them trouble if they're not doing what they're
give
supposed to be doing.
Give them trouble. You know?
Anyhow, I'm like looking in the water. I go, look it, there's a floating lure. And as I pass it.
Oh, no. Oh, Melissa, look it, there's a lure. And then proceeded to circle it for some reason.
I just turned because we were all in a holding pattern.
No, he was trying to get me to see this lure like I've never seen a lure in my life.
And all of a sudden, where's the lure gone? And next thing you know, I hear a little tick. And all of a sudden, we can't get out of the equivalent of like first gear in our wave runner.
All of a sudden, the wave runner is no longer working.
Yeah.
Like, it's still, like, we can still move it, but it's not working. But, and then he was like, the lure's gone, but we never thought anything.
And there was so much seaweed that I thought
we had. There wasn't that much seaweed. He will not go back there because he thinks there's too much seaweed.
Well, you couldn't see because you weren't driving. There were floating patches of seaweed that I'd have to navigate around. Ooh. Do you not remember me, like, swerving because of the, I wanted to avoid the seaweed?
Yes, sorry.
What song are you singing?
Wrong one. I wanted to sing Baywatch, but I was singing Dallas.
Yeah. I don't think there's much water in Dallas.
How does Baywatch go again?
I don't even know. I have no idea. Anyhow, so there were patches of seaweed floating around that I had to try to go around. And the reason I know that, and I was thinking about that, before we even went there, I thought, there's lots of seaweed there. And then I was thinking about the time we were in Florida when you were driving one and got seaweed stuck in your machine, remember?
I did. I don't remember that.
When we went on a Sea-Doo ride?
I remember getting stuck, but I don't remember.
And there were sharks swimming around the bottom of your thing?
Yeah, for sure, but I didn't know it was seaweed.
Well, yeah, that's what happened.
Oh, no one ever told me that.
So, thankfully, two of the Sea-Doos had left, and one of them stayed. And we were there, and we couldn't get any power. And we made the decision to just, instead of trying to drive it, which we couldn't do, and there's no way we could tow it all the way back, because we were
Reynolds
25, 30 minutes, well, probably maybe even 40 minutes away from the cottage.
We were far.
And so we had to limp it into a marina. And
we had to limp it into a marina. Yeah. And Brock was like, not looking good. Brock likes to often do like the doomsday predictions for everything.
Yes.
He is a little bit on the negative side when we get Reynolds.
So we were
I'm
there.
Always on the, it'll be fine side. Always.
So we're there in the middle of this bay. Lots of seaweed, shallow water. And before we left, we had a set of goggles on the dock.
Being very John B-ish.
And I think Olivia said, should we throw those in? And no one took the goggles.
Well, pause. We always have goggles in one of the Sea-Doos, but Spencer decided to use goggles the day before and not put them back.
Okay, so.
Shocker.
I take off my life preserver. I take off my wide-brimmed hat. I put in my earplugs. And I go to jump under to try to see.
This is before we got to the marina.
This was just in the middle
like
of the bay.
Everybody around us. But, plot twist, right before he jumped in, I was looking in the water and I saw this massively long, how long is this?
That's about 2.5 feet, 3 feet.
About 2.5, 3 feet long, skinny, white fish, huge in the water. But I knew Todd had to get under the Sea-Doo, so I didn't tell him.
Didn't tell me. I found this out later. So,
huge.
Very little regard for my well-being.
No, I just didn't think that a Canadian fish was going to hurt you.
That's
terrible.
Fish. There's pike, there's muskie.
Pike is going to hurt you?
I can get attacked by a pike, sure.
Jeez.
Have you seen the teeth in those suckers? That's why you got to grab them by the gills.
Oh.
I believe it was a gar pike.
Okay.
And we have been
It kind
since
of looked
informed.
Like a swordfish.
That's a gar pike, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so the long snout on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, gar pike. That was my guess.
You were right beside it. It was like...
I had no clue.
It was like shining.
That makes me feel wonderful.
But so I didn't feel scared.
Next time you're going in.
I'm not scared at all of the...
Okay, that's perfect. Todd next is, time you're going
Todd is a bit scared
I do
of the
not
bay.
Like the unknown
Todd's
of the water.
Todd's scared of the bay. I am not scared of the bay.
I'm not a huge fan of the seaweed because I have an overactive imagination. You know, all those stupid movies that I watched and thinking that, oh, who knows what happens. Anyhow, I went under in the middle of the bay, couldn't find anything.
Was throwing his hand up the Sea-Doo, trying to pull things out of the Sea-Doo.
Yeah, I was trying to get in the...
But with no goggles, because one of our four kids took the goggles out of the Sea-Doo, of course.
And so we'd make the decision to go to one of the marinas, because we had passed a few of them. And we know someone who is the operator of one of the marinas. So we went in there, saw some people that we know. Like, oh, hey. So we borrowed goggles there. As we're getting in there, the others are, of course, are in there before us. We are just making it around the first dock of the marina, and one of the friends that were with us takes his life jacket off and has his hand in his, or has his phone in his hand, or has his phone on the life jacket, phone, poof, right off the dock into the water.
Yes, so we can say who it is. It's Spencer's friend Katie, his best friend Katie.
Kai, yep.
We get there. So Todd doesn't really 100% know what's going on. So he's up by the launch ramp, and him and Brock, so him and I get to the launch ramp. It was a little panicked, but we get to the launch ramp because it's hard to get the Sea-Doo there when it's not working properly.
Yeah.
We tie up, but as we're passing, they're like, Katie just dropped his phone in the water. Everyone's panicking on this other dock. Katie's expensive phone has just dropped. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what you're going to do. And you took the goggles out of the Sea-Doo, so now we really can't see. And if you've ever been to a marina, it's gross. And he dropped it between the big boat and the dock. So it was dropped like in a really uncomfortable area.
Sure.
In a really gross area. So then we have to move and go to... like to the launch ramp. So I can get out
and stand. And if you've ever launched a boat, you know that typically at this time of the year, the launch ramps are typically gross
and slimy
with algae and that. And I said to Brock as he was helping me out there, I said, okay, I'm going to stand there. And what we're going to try to do is we're going to try.
But where was Brock again? He was still on the dock. Sea-Doo. Oh, he was. And he gave me his phone. I'm like, Brock. No, I looked down and his phone was on the dock.
Yeah.
I'm like, Brock, this cannot just be sitting on the dock.
Right. So if you get something in your Sea-Doo, you're supposed to like push it up and down like dirt or whatever. And so that's what we were trying to do back and forth. Yeah, like up and down to try to kind of suck water in and squirt out. We didn't see anything come out and I couldn't see it. So we borrowed goggles. Emma saw someone who she knew. We borrowed goggles. I looked under. It was too dark. I'm like, okay, we made the decision just to leave it there. But as I'm standing there, 1 second before I said, oh, watch me fall. And sure enough, as soon as I said that.
Todd was not in a good mood.
Well, no, because.
He was in a very bad mood.
Because I'm thinking, we're going to ruin the motor or the drivetrain in it or something like that. And, you know, like
I
just.
I was really worried about the drivetrain.
Anyhow, I go and I fall, of course. And what do? I slice up my leg nicely, right on the shin where there is no meat. So it's not bleeding, it's just pure white. So I don't know what it is.
So then he says, oh my goodness, I just fell in and it's cartilage coming out of my leg.
There's cartilage. I didn't say coming out of my leg.
So then I think cartilage means bone is hanging out of his leg. So then I'm panicking that he's got bone hanging out of his leg.
Well, it's still very sore to the touch.
Later,
in the area.
I get kind of made fun of that it was not bone. But, and then, and Todd never acts like things hurt him or that things like bother him when he gets hurt. And it immediately swelled up and I was like, oh my goodness, we're going to have to go to the hospital because there's bone poking out of his leg.
And I'm in the gross area. And so...
yeah, it's pretty gross.
So, you know, we've
done a lot of peroxide sprays.
Yeah, so there's debris in there and stuff like that. And so we leave the vehicle there. And this is a Saturday, right?
Sea-Doo.
No, Sunday, excuse me.
This is a Sunday, yeah.
And we have a family party, so everything is closed.
Well, first, before we do the family party, I go and try to help the kids get this phone because...
oh, right.
Because Todd is still hanging out with bone hanging out of his leg.
But it's not really bone hanging out of my leg.
That's what you made it sound like.
No, I never said that.
Anyway, in the meantime, I go to the other dock to try to... and they're still not getting the phone. I'm like, well, you need to try to go and get that phone. So we borrowed the goggles again from the people that lent them to us for Todd. So all of this going on at the same time. And like... I do not want to leave there until that phone is retrieved.
Found, yeah.
Because, so we find out it's only 10 feet. So again, Reynolds twice in, like, what are the chances your Sea-Doo stops working and then a kid you're with drops her phone in the water? We find out it's only 10 feet, but it is disgusting.
Oh, seaweed and,
oh, yeah. It's super gross. Dark. And it's right between this big boat and this dock. So then Spencer is terrified that KD is going to drown trying to get his phone. Like, he just keeps saying he's going to drown. Like, if he goes down there, he's going to drown. I'm like, Spence, he's not going to drown. He can. So we give him a rope. And KD is repulsed that he has to go in this water. Like, the water is disgusting. Oh, yes. Oh God. If you've never, like, honestly, it's marina water and it's gross. But he puts on these big, huge goggles. We're all standing there, other than Todd and Brock. We're all standing there and we're like, oh my goodness. And none of us want to jump in. And because it's KD's phone, he's jumping in. Because I'm like, I'm not jumping in for that phone. And I know if Todd was not there, Todd would have jumped in for the phone. But he was busy being Reynolds somewhere else.
That's right.
Right? You would have jumped in right away for that phone.
I probably would have, yeah.
So, and Spencer was going to jump in, but then I was like, well, it's KD's phone. So KD puts his goggles on, and like, it's only a tiny little area between the boat and the dock. So we need to push the boat away so it stops moving. And the second a wave comes, that boat keeps coming on top of KD. So all of a sudden, KD jumps in. I was like, oh my goodness, everyone's cheering. And he goes down first, and then Spencer thinks that he's stuck under the dock. He's like, KD's going to drown! KD's going to drown! Anyway.
Of course, always hyperbole with Spencer.
Yes, KD pops his head up, no phone. I think KD went down three times. Goes back down. We try to make sure that he's holding on a rope. He's not. But we find out it's 10 feet under there. So we're all watching him very closely and making sure he's not, that he's safe. And then goes down again, comes back up, no phone. We're like, oh, he's like, this is disgusting. Anyway, goes down one more time, comes up, hand up with the phone. It was the most incredible sight. Everyone's cheering. Everyone's like going crazy.
Breaching the water as if it's treasure. Now, I wasn't there, but I heard the noise.
Oh, we started cheering as loud as we could. Everybody in the marina were like, probably like, what is going on? We were screaming and yelling because we were so excited that he found his phone. And then Spence, because there's like no stairs to get up and it's deep and there's no way to push yourself up, Spencer has to grab him under the armpits and pull him up. As he gets up, his knee is full of blood. The bottom of his foot is full of blood. And I think he's like really hurt because if you get hurt in the water, there's so much blood.
Yeah.
So then I have to go to the boat of the people that we know, the Thayers. Thank you so much to the Thayers. They were so good to us. We had to go and get paper towels so I could clean off his wounds. Turns out, and then we sprayed a lot of peroxide when we got home on that too. Turns out it was just because it was water.
Yeah.
But we don't know what he cut his foot on, and we think
probably
that he scraped
a zebra muscle.
He scraped his knee on the dock coming up. But anyway,
it was worth it for the phone retrieval, though.
It was. Yeah. And then his phone was working. His phone was fine. Hopefully it's still working. We haven't double checked that.
Do his parents know this story yet?
They know a little bit, and okay. It was on the story. Like, it was on the Instagram story, but they don't know a ton. KD does not like being featured on the Instagram story as much as others. He's very tolerant to me, and he always gives me permission, but I do know my boundaries on how much I can put on the story of KD. So, because I always do try to ask when I post anything on the stories. So anyway, phone is retrieved, and then we'll continue the story of the Sea-Doo. So we are having a big family birthday party here. There's like 40 people coming.
Yeah, lots, yeah.
Yeah, and that's happening at around
4 o'clock.
But I like to jam as many things in a day as possible. Like, I like to Sea-Doo. I like to put as much in
swim
a day.
And,
swim, Sea-Doo, marathon swim, walks, everything. So we then have to jump. Thank goodness there was space on everybody's Sea-Doo. So then we had to go three per Sea-Doo. And I do not like that.
It's not comfortable, but it was manageable.
So we get back to the cottage. We were supposed to be gone for like an hour and 12. Oh, and like the weather was supposed to turn at 11.
Yeah, exactly.
And we didn't get back to the cottage around 12, and the weather was starting like to get very, very wavy.
So it was over 3.5 hours, I think, that we were gone in total. We were planning on being gone for like 2 hours maximum.
Yeah.
So it cut into our time, and of course, I then have to go retrieve it. So in the meantime, Melissa has tracked down the owner's name of the marina, and I'm texting with him. He said, yeah, it's fine. Just tell people you got probably permission. Blah,
that's
blah, blah,
the
blah.
Best part about living in a small town is that you kind of know everybody.
Yeah. So, but I get back, and I map quested or whatever, check the thing, and it's a 42-minute drive just to get there from the cottage.
Yeah, and we have people coming at 4.
Yeah, so to kill a bird, 2 birds with 1 stone, whatever it is, I fill up my other machines because we were gone a long time. I bring my empty gas can, so I go and get gas, and I go and retrieve the machine, and I come back, and when I pull it out, when I get there, there's a big, huge boat that's clearing out its tanks, whatever, so I had to wait a little bit. I pull out, and I look inside the machine, and I can see the lure that I was so fascinated with.
The lure that he's like, Melis, a lure. Look at the lure. And we circled the lure, and it's in the machine. Do you know that if the kids had done this, dead meat, they would have been in big trouble.
It was a freak accident. Not often does it occur, thankfully. But I did some YouTube research and online forums to see how to fix it.
Because we said like to fix things ourselves.
They said if this is your symptomology, this is what's probably happening.
Symptomology.
So, and sure enough, it was no power. It was vibration, blah, 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 blah. And so I took it out. I put it on the hose on the dry start there. And it seemed to work fine. So I did a test in the bay after I brought it back. And we're good to go now. So we've been out on it since. And I treated myself to a nice fast ride, because I'm very rarely on the machine by myself. So
I love going fast. I just don't want to go fast when the waves are huge.
I did a mock test of it, broke the speed limit and the sound barrier on it to get back to the cottage.
You're
quickly.
So cool. Stop being so sexy.
Well, I was standing whilst riding to absorb the the wave. That's right. You know, it was like riding a bucking bronco. I was it was all over the place.
You're
it was amazing.
Such a geek.
Not that I've ever ridden a bucking bronco, but I just picture myself.
Stop saying
doing
that.
You know? So,
oh my gosh.
It was great. So it was
all right. Well, there
good,
we go.
Fast ride.
Thanks for fixing it, Mr. Fix-It. And thanks for being obsessed with just an everyday lure that we needed to look at for 5 minutes and then suck up in our machine and then get Reynolds.
Well, so now I have the lure and we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do with that lure. I got to hang it in here somewhere.
Oh my goodness. Seriously?
Oh yeah. It's a memory. Come on.
That is a memory.
We're doing a whole talk about it. Can I not just have the actual physical lure somewhere?
Where are you going to hang it?
I don't know. Somewhere where you're going to probably not approve. That's for sure.
Probably not. All right. Yeah. Well, that is our story. So we're going to try to be, in the next, 10 episodes, or if we have a really good Reynolds story, we'll always try to share it because, of course, it is the name of the podcast.
Yeah. Were we going to talk about jamming into the car or no?
Nah, forget it.
Well, we alluded to the fact that, we have to use our van as a work vehicle. The boys cut grass. So we have two lawnmowers in there with a whole bunch of organic smells in terms of grass and dirt and gas and everything in there, so it's quite gross. But we had to go to Toronto, so we had to use our other vehicle. But when I was in Toronto, did you notice that I was avoiding the elevators?
Kind of.
Yeah. Do you know why?
No.
Because I'm afraid of them. I've taken steps to avoid them. Thank you.
That's ridiculous.
I know it is.
All right, everyone. I hope that you enjoyed our episode.
The best part of that joke is that it's got Star Trek guys saying it, and I love it.
Thank you for telling us.
No problem.
Everybody can picture that. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Thanks for continuing to listen. Let us know if you want a shout out. We would love that. Share the podcast with your friends and family. Share our Instagram, The Reynolds Family 6, with your friends and family. And hopefully you had fun. Thanks so much, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Hey now. Summer days will always stay with